Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Why do some people succeed and others live lives of ruin? A recent speaker at Central College addressed this issue in his consideration of the book, The Other Wes Moore, One Name, Two Fates. Let's go in depth with Akeo Abdu-Samad, member of the Iowa House of Representatives and founder and CEO of Creative Visions Human Development Institute, Des Moines. Akeo, why are you at Central?
Well, I've been invited to do three sessions and also the main address for the program. They wanted to get, they picked a book called The Other Wes Moore, and they were trying to get the author because that's what their focus is. And they couldn't get the other author, and they were in a meeting, and someone suggested my name. And so I drew the stick, and they invited me to come up to address the students about the book itself, which addresses the three main areas that I broke it down to was choices, second chances, and support group.
Okay, and you run an organization in Des Moines called Creative Visions, which I would guess helps position you to address those subjects.
It does. Creative Visions Human Development Institute, deals with individuals, high-risk youth, young adults, and adults, and deals with individuals that want to make some changes in their life, and start making some healthy choices. At Creative Visions, we know that we can't fix anybody. It has to be their choice. All we are there to do is help provide resources for them to make those choices.
Now, I haven't read the book, unfortunately, but The Other Wes Moore, I understand, is about a fellow by the name of Wes Moore that became aware of another fellow named Wes Moore, and it was two guys, same names, vastly different choices, life outcomes.
Exactly, and circumstances. One Wes Moore actually is doing life in the penitentiary now. The other Wes Moore is a graduate and went into the service and doing very well in society. The Wes Moore that was a graduate actually, saw a write-up on himself and was doing that. And he happened to then, in a newspaper, see another write-up about the other Wes Moore. And he became curious because the write-up was about the other Wes Moore that was actually being charged with murder of a police officer. So, and then was found guilty and sentenced to life in the penitentiary without parole. And he became curious on what was the difference between his life and the other Wes Moore. So he actually began communicating with Wes Moore that was in the penitentiary. And from that point on, they became friends. And he started doing the interview. He didn't know he was going to write the book at the time, but he ended up because one of the things that he found that they had, even though there were differences, that they had a lot of similarities. And so that's when he started identifying support systems and choices, and second chances, and among others. But that's what I've narrowed it down, which made interesting reading. But it also is what we deal with individuals at Creative Visions on a daily basis. We if you look at our video that's online, you would think that it came straight out of the book.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Akeo Abdu-Samad. So the fundamental points that you've made here, you've mentioned circumstances, you've mentioned choices, you've mentioned second chances, and one more.
You have support.
Support.
Your support systems. One of the things, I think one of the most profound lines in the book that I took is that they were talking about their fathers, And the Westmore, who was locked up in a penitentiary, looked at the other Westmore and said to him, your father left you without a choice. It wasn't his choice to leave you. He died of a heart attack. You know, the other, his father, the individual who was locked up, the Westmore locked up, he said, my father chose not to be in my life by choice. He said, so we will mourn differently on the loss of our fathers. And, you know, and that is so true. And when you're dealing with support systems, and who is there as your support system, no matter how long? And even though the fathers were involved in their lives in a very short time, the memory is different from each of them. And the Westmore who went on to college still loved his father, misses his father, even though he had a short time, because of the impact his father had in that short period of time with him. The Westmore that ended up in the penitentiary, also has a memory, but the mourning is different. It's more of a resentful, type of mourning than anything else.
Well, as you might be if your father left you.
Exactly.
On purpose, as a choice rather than a death.
Exactly. One of the things that I also gathered from that was the fact that we have to identify, conditions. We have to identify choices and understand why people make those type of choices, why a father does. It was really interesting. My stepfather would not leave the house unless he had $500 in his pocket. When he was no longer able to work or actually get a job, because back then, even with his not having the education that he wanted, he made a choice and actually started consoling himself with alcohol. So he, as I learned later, my father, who left me when I was young, who I end up being by his bedside, when he died, they both actually turned to alcohol to console their pain. That was their choice, but they made that choice. But you understand and you make no excuses for them, but you understand why. Then you address manhood. Then you address, what one's reference point is of what a man is supposed to be, being able to take care of his family, and then not being able to. It doesn't say that's an excuse to turn to a substance or be a substance abuser, but you have to put in, those conditions. You have to understand why, so that you can help. If you don't understand why or how a person got there, then it's hard to help a person.
Well, now, a few years ago, our recently retired sheriff and I, who are really good friends, I noticed that one particular young man kept getting arrested. Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend, the sheriff, I said, boy, he's in trouble a lot, isn't he? And my friend, the sheriff, said, yeah, I've arrested him, his dad, and his grandpa. I've been arresting people for a long time in that family. That guy really didn't have a chance, did he? Or could he have made, where do choices come in when you've got such a difficult situation like that?
Well, if your support system isn't replaced with another support system and you're trying to make choices, it's hard to make those choices. If you don't have resources to make the right choices. If you're living, I think there is a saying that if you're playing with dogs with fleas, you're going to come up with fleas. If you don't change your environment, if you don't have someone to encourage you to do better, then you become a product of your environment. And if your environment, everybody around you is either dying or going to the penitentiary, then you could look at the percentage of what will happen to you. If you don't have someone to help pluck you out of that environment. A lot of individuals across this country, especially we see in urban cities, we lose those young people because there's no one to pluck them out of that environment. And it's easier, said than done. But you can't have someone who comes and gets in and comes in someone's life for a day. That's an ongoing process because you're dealing with an environment that you live on the south side of Chicago, or you live, you know, and in Watts, or, you know, you're living in California. If you're living and you wake up and you see that child, and you say, wow, you got helicopters flying through the night, you got gunshots going on, and that child can look at you and say, that just comes with the neighborhood. You had a 50% chance or more of losing that child because they've accepted the condition that's there. We should never have to accept that type of condition.
But what if they don't know that other conditions exist? Is that possible?
That is very possible. And that's what I mean. There's no support system to pull them out to show them something different. There's nothing. I left Des Moines when I was young because I really felt there was life after Iowa. That if you left Iowa, you wouldn't drop off the face of the earth. You know, that the earth was really round and you could travel. You have individuals that are my age now that have never left Iowa. You know, never left the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that's all they know. And won't leave the neighborhood. You know, they don't want to fly. They're scared of flying because television told them that, you know, planes get in wrecks. They don't want to get on a train. They won't take the car and drive any further, you know, because that's their environment. That's their life. That's their comfort zone. You know, no one challenged them to come out of that comfort zone. Some individuals are like that. They come into grade school, and at no time there is a challenge about them going to college. In fact, it is taken for granted that they will not go to college, but they might end up dead or in the penitentiary.
That's what was predicted for them, and then they worked to achieve that goal?
Exactly. They worked to achieve that because you don't know anything better. It's just like you said, the sheriff said, I arrested him, you know, his father, his grandfather. If that is all you see, then that's all you will be.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Akeo Abdu-Samad. Well, then how do we contrast that with a sentiment common among many people in society that think it's all choice, that you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you solve the problems yourself and you rise to greatness on your own?
Only time that it begins the choice if you're offering an alternative. If you're never offered an alternative, then it's never a choice. You know, it's a conditioning. You know, it's just like a lot of us are conditioned. There was a time in American society where men were conditioned that we don't cry, you don't show emotion, you're the man of the house. We grew up decades after decades after decades believing that. You know, it wasn't until you actually came into the 60s and the 70s and where men were expressing themselves, and then you had to be careful not to be labeled, you know, as being someone gay if that someone saw you crying. You know. So it is, but the key is, what happened is those that came before us weren't given that choice. That's a man of the house. You made the decisions. You didn't show emotions. You had to be strong. And if anything ever challenged that, you had men that would retreat to abuse. You had men that would see the choice as so they could control their family, alcoholism, different choices. So we're at a point now to where we have to start having some real conversations with ourselves. We have to have our real conversations about how do we offer those choices to those communities that don't have a choice. You know, how do we get out of our comfort zone? And that can't be done in a television commercial. You know, especially if you have a child that's growing on the south side of Chicago, and all they see and they're living in the neighborhood, and their brothers in the vice lord, the uncles in the vice lord, grandpa's in the vice lord, dad was in the vice lords. You know, how does that child come out of that? You know, that means the responsibility falls on a whole lot of people, not just teachers. It falls on the minister, it falls on the teachers, it falls on community activists to reach back and be able to offer those choices to the individual. The individuals that went to boxing instead of picking up the gun and fighting in the community. You know, They turn to sports, you know, that coach a lot of times with their support system.
So how do we as individuals try to turn this around? What is there sort of suggestions for actions? Because we're programmed to do certain kinds of things. So all of us that, let's just say, have a more comfortable life and that are considered successful in our communities, have a good job, how do we turn around our programming so that we just don't sit comfortably in our soft little spot?
First of all, we got to identify that change has to take place. Then we ask ourselves, how can I help that change? You know, that change starts with the individual. It starts at home. You know, if you don't start making those changes and changing your attitude, you know, then anytime you go to make a change, it's usually cosmetic because you're coming strictly from your reference point and your comfort zone. So now you want that same individual, you want to pass that on to that individual instead of identifying where that individual is actually at, or actually identifying that your comfort zone and your reference point may not be the correct, that you may need to do some changes within yourself. What it starts at, it's just like when we talk about, you know, you no longer tell the blonde joke, you no longer tell the Pollock joke. You never start using the N-word, those jokes. You know, and those that are around you that use it, you start challenging that. You start challenging your own comfort zone. You know, can I reach out to a child that isn't in the Boy Scouts, a young lady that's not in the Girl Scouts? Can I reach out to somebody that has the potential of being a good Boy Scout or Girl Scout? Can I go into those areas that I know hopelessness is the first priority on individuals' list because that's their life and that's what they see? You know, can I walk in and get with someone and say, hey, I want to help? You know, we're living in a country where even big brothers are having problems getting volunteers. You know, we're living in a country where individuals don't want to be Boy Scout leaders anymore. We're living in a country that individuals don't reach out from their groups and everything to groups that really need them to reach out to. We have to start doing that. You know, it's time for us to turn a village into what it's supposed to be. But for a village to be part of raising a child, it has to recognize its own ills. Until we recognize its own ills, we will continue to produce society, in society, those individuals that walk on a Navy base and shoot a number of people, you know, and then we go back and we can track the ills of that individuals, but we never deal with it in real conversations. He still had clearance to walk in on that base and kill individuals. So his choice impacted, you know, family members, impacted individuals, because we didn't have real conversations about that. Nobody addressed the issue at hand. We have to start addressing the issue at hand. You know, he had a history of issues. No one really ever addressed it.
Thanks to Akeo Abdu-Samad for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.